Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham. Using dedication, confidence, and respect, you have used great judgment in listening to Wrestling Cheers.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you wanna go where everybody.
And welcome back to Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name, and today we're running a 2-for-1 special with your name on it as well. And this is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, where you can check out all the great shows, such as All Beer Inside, European Uppercut, The Tuts Experience, Luchat, CFL Easy Picks, What's on Fight, Eurovision Showcase, Legends on Siren FM, TTN at the Movies, Shut the Fuck Up, and my other show, Hangin' with Heavy. A little bit of contact information. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, and Instagram, Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. And please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. And doing things a little bit different this week, because I am your host, I am Heavy Set. A little different, we're going to do a review on two shows. I mentioned this last week. Myself, I went to OCW's Wayne County WrestleFest, and then we also have my co-host for this evening. We have Caden, who went to PCW, what was it called?
PCW War of Attrition, tag tournament.
I knew that one. I wrote it down so many times and said it so many times, I just slipped my mind because I was putting in a lot of information for the upcoming shows for PCW, and I'm like, what was that called? Oh yeah, War of Attrition.
Crown the first ever tag champs.
Yeah. See, how... Because this is new. Normally, we both went to a show. We
both were there to, like, give our own opinions on it.
Yeah, and be able to go back and forth. But this, a little different. And we both went to these separate shows. Some connection between them, a little bit. But, I don't know, you want to go first? Talk about PCW War of Attrition?
Where do I begin? Well, first off, this is a tournament to crown their first tag champs, as I previously said. A few, well, mostly like regulars there. There's a couple of new teams. Gannon Jones and Duke Davis. They're, if anyone follows IWC, they're the current tag champs there. So, they are obviously no strangers to tag gold. This is something new. It's hard trying to figure out where to go with this. Actually, let me go pull up the show card here, because I'm totally blank out of what half the matches were.
I was going to pull up really quick the poster, because then I know I could go off of that and be able to explain like some of the teams that were involved in this particular show. I did do it last week. Some familiar names. We had Locked and Loaded, Nate Mattson and Bruce Gray, the Kroger Brothers, Black Hand Society, the Philly Marino Experience, Nate Wings and Aaron Williams. The Hysteria and the other team, can you please pronounce their names? Sonny Lafarge?
Cornelius Crummels and Sonny DeFarge.
Okay. And that was all the members of the tournament. Did everybody show up?
Everyone was there. Or no. What? Well, this is the one team. It technically counts because only one member wasn't there. Jack Pollock and Peyton Graham. Peyton Graham was not there. So R.C. Dupree replaced Peyton Graham.
Which is where our two shows have a little bit of a connection because...
Team Storm,
Jackson Argos, was a big part of this, of the Wayne County WrestleFest.
Very good. I've seen him twice this year at Mega and Cleveland Knights Championship Wrestling. He's fantastic.
And then there were a few other matches for the night, too. You had the welterweight championship match, Jonathan Grisham versus Ace Perry.
That actually main evented the show.
Oh, it did main event the show.
Yes, the tag title finals co-main evented, which they were turned into a street fight. I don't know if anyone wants spoilers, but it was, if you, just mute if you don't want spoilers.
Well, I figure because this is going to be a review episode.
Yeah, fair enough.
If you're listening to this, you want to know what happened.
This is fair.
So pretty much, because like even when we do AIW stuff, we don't hide stuff to say like, oh, we won't say who won. No, we go over who won and our thoughts and all that stuff. So,
hey, I'll always give warnings just in case.
I feel like something like this could be used for if someone wants to get interested in PCW or OCW, and
either company.
Yeah, it could help them stay up to date on certain things going on within the shows.
But yeah, the finals of the tag tournament was turned into a street fight because it was previously mentioned Crumbles and DeFarge versus the Cougars, who have been feuding for pretty much this entire year. Well, actually, since last year, when the Cougars killed off Crumbles and DeFarge's friends of Dropkick Dave and Uppercut Ulysses. That's been this feud, is they killed their friends. We are fighting for our friends now. It was a street fight. It was crazy. Cougars won after a ridiculous match of kendo sticks, trash cans, some chairs. It was real fun.
And the Cougars is a team that has been around the local scene and in a lot of other companies. Like, they've done, I think, two OCW shows, neither of which that I was able to attend. Mega, PCW.
They're similar to PME when it comes to being, like, all around Ohio.
Yeah.
They're very similar. I know PME is legitimately, like, everywhere, but the Cougars are, like, right behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably the one team that's missing from AIW right now.
The Cougars?
I would very much like to see them in AIW.
There's probably a reason why they're not there.
We're not going to go into that. But yeah,
but I think it's what you think, too.
We will not go into this, but yeah.
But to put it one way, is I don't have faith that they'll be in AIW anytime soon.
Wrestling politics, everyone.
Could be wrong, could be right. We don't know, but could also be. I'll give AIW some leeway here, or benefit of the doubt. Sometimes it might not be a good fit. We're not a good fit right now.
Hopefully one of these days.
I mean, this is an interesting time in AIW, and some of the people who have come in, and who have the potential of coming in. Like, let's just talk about, you know, MJF and Mance Warner. Freaking awesome. Debut, same show, and I hope they have the same amount of longevity between the two.
Mance was unfortunately not on the last show due to prior commitments, but
yeah,
he's probably going to be back in the near future, or at least I hope.
What else about this event?
Just now I'm going to go in order of, like, my list of my favorite matches here.
Okay.
In order, this is, like, my top, like, I'll just give my top three. It would be Gresham-Ace Perry, because this is, like, a half an hour match. One of the longest matches in PCW this year. It was really good.
Okay.
Cougars versus PME, that was the best match of the first round. And the previously mentioned finals of the tournament was really good. Because it was, you had your really good, like, back-and-forth technical with Ace Perry and Jonathan Gresham, which, anyone that knows Ace Perry, he really doesn't do technical that often, and he went hold-for-hold with Gresham. It was awesome. PME Cougars was another, like, I wouldn't say feud, but it kind of was, like, a little mini-feud that hasn't been focused on too much this year in PCW. And the tag finals was almost like, for anyone that follows PCW, the culmination of a feud. A little bit of a pun on a stable there. Lots of weapons in that match. Real good. And I think this might be out on IndieWrestling.us. I probably botched that website in like 3 weeks for like $5, because they're real cheap on there. Worth getting it.
Does Joe Dombrowski sell these on his website or no?
I think that's actually where you like, go there to get them, then it sends you to that other website.
Okay.
Joe, if you listen, please correct me if I'm wrong.
And Joe, if you listen, if you take something from Wrestling Cheers, please put some sort of credit out there. Thank you very much.
Oops.
That message also goes for someone by the name of Jackson Argos.
Uh-oh. We shooting.
Taking a page out of Joe Dombrowski's book.
Or me yesterday on Twitter, for anyone. By the time this comes out, that's like 3 days ago, but yeah.
We got time. You want to talk about it?
Nope, not going to go into it. Davey Richards, yeah.
There's a reason why I have the dude blocked. And it's more of, he gets on his high horse sometimes, and I'm just like, dude, shut the fuck up. I don't care. Like, especially when the whole shit went down with Crimson. basically calling out Crazy Steve and the whole, you know, Decay gimmick. Like, that, he's like, pretty much, you know, that was me. Why are you taking this? And fucking Richards comes out, basically says bullshit on it. And it's like, dude, fuck you. Go be a doctor and be the name that people vaguely remember a few years from now. Oh yeah, whatever happened to him?
Yeah, whatever happened to the guy who would show up to one booking every 6 months?
The last AIW show he was booked
at. He was in AIW once.
Yeah, the last show before I started coming.
Literally, one show.
Mm-hmm.
He was booked, like, what, 3 times? He showed up once.
Pretty good match with Whitmer, though. I give him that credit, but other than... I remember at one point I was saying I hope Davey would get signed to TNA because he had this such a history of no-showing. I'm just like, get the guy off the indies. WWE, I don't think, wants him. Doesn't seem like they wanted him, or at least not at the terms that he wanted to be wanted at. So I was like, screw it. They have him go to TNA, then he can, if he misses their bookings, you know, that's on him.
And that's where he was at until he decided he wanted to retire and not actually retire.
Does he still wrestle?
When he wants to.
Well, now he's going to school and everything, but, you know, whole doctor shit, which, I, you know, power to you, but fuck off. I don't really care.
He's a doctor now. Worship him.
He's not the addiction.
Anywho.
Were there any other notes that you had from this particular event?
See, I don't know. Like, I'm terrible at remembering stuff. I just go, I'll have, like, my top 3 matches. I'm terrible at remembering certain spots. I just know Jack Pollock keeps winning me over every time I see him. He's fantastic. He kind of disappeared for a few months from PCW and showed back up last month, the show you were at, I think.
Yes, because he went up against Greg, and Pollock was a guy that I really wanted to see because I first heard about him on an old PWX episode on Fight TV. And then I happened to, like, after watching that, I was like, oh, he's also wrestles at Remix. Oh, okay. Oh, he wrestles at IWC. Oh.
He's, like, everywhere.
And then the whole Team Storm thing happened, and right around the time that I'd seen stuff with him, I started to try to attend OCW more. So here's Jackson Argos, and oh, Jackson Argos is with Pollock, and then there's this R.C. Dupree guy, the only one that I've yet to meet. And I'm waiting for what company between PCW and OCW will be the one to have all 3 members. Right now, I think it has the highest possibility of being PCW, only because I don't think Argos is going to be at some of the next OCW shows.
Yeah, I was about to say, they've had Pollock and Dupree so far, so...
I mean, so far, yeah, PCW's winning that race, but I feel... Which, actually, we're lucky, because looking at both of their calendars in the coming months, they don't have much overlap. I got to double-check a December show for PCW... Not PCW, OCW, but I still think they don't overlap. Like, right now, on our events... Like that, you'll see on the notes, there's at least always a week in between some of the related shows. Like, the next show will be the Dustin Batdorf Invitational, the 6-1. That's on the 14th of this month. And the next week, PCW has Revengeance on the 21st. And then the next day, Welterweight Wrestling 2 will be on the 22nd. And then there's a little bit of a gap, because then the next show is OCW. They don't have an event name just yet, but it's going to be on November 11th. And then PCW November Pain on the 18th.
I actually have a show on the 11th, too.
Mega?
Cleveland Knights Championship Wrestling.
That is probably why he won't be there. Argos won't be there. Because of him and Pollock.
Rock and Roll Express versus those two.
Yeah.
In a flag match.
Which, I mean, I'd really like to go to that one, but I don't know. We kind of talked about last week, or the last time we were both on, that, like, how there's that other show that happened to pop up recently that neither of us have heard about. It's still here.
And now they got the Rock and Roll Express booked.
On that same show?
Oh, what? No. That other show. Yeah. The Friday Night Fury thing or whatever.
Frenzy.
Yeah, close enough.
And there's someone else that was, I just heard, that was booked on that show. Maybe Laredo.
Go, Laredo.
What's Laredo going to do when he realizes it's not AIW?
He's going to be real sad. He's going to be real sad.
You said the street fight was the match of the night for you?
Only behind Gresham and Perry.
Okay.
Solely because I love technical wrestling.
What about the women?
This is something that was kind of weird. It was more like a comedy match. They gave them like 10 minutes, and it was really fun. It's kind of a hard match to explain, though.
So women can have a comedy wrestling match I mean, could have a good match within 10 minutes.
This is, like, a really fun match. It wasn't serious, but it wasn't, like, overly, like, comedied up either. It was perfect mix of serious and funny. Very enjoyable.
How would you rate War of Attrition as a whole?
On a scale of, like, 1 to 10, or just the alphabetical rating thing that we've been doing?
Letter grade.
Give it a B. Okay. Just because there was a couple matches that was like, eh. Like, the one match ended a double DQ during the tournament, which gave Kogars a bye. I'm not opposed to that, but I don't like the double DQ finishes.
Yeah, especially in a tournament.
Unless it's really necessary, it's like, eh, avoid it.
And then explain to people, or give like a pitch to fans who haven't checked out PCW yet and reasons to check it out and your thoughts on it.
Before I say anything, this is for anyone that might know Turner's Hall and have enjoyed that venue. They run there on a monthly basis. No, it's not like 10 degrees in there. There's actually heat and air conditioning in this building now, so. PCW's a, like, just a really fun, like, alternative to everything else in the Cleveland area. It's just fun wrestling to go to. Like, if you have nothing to do on, like, a Saturday or a Sunday night, just $15, get in, see a really good group of talent from, like, Indiana, PA, West Virginia, and some guys from, like, Cleveland area. No, like, insanely big names. It's just fun wrestling.
All right. Let's get into the OCW results for the Wayne County WrestleFest. And overall, it was an okay show. I feel like OCW has two different types of shows. One that I'll call house shows, and it's because how they end. And then you have your what they might consider bigger shows, but I don't know what differentiates them to, only but because of the main event. Of all the OCW shows I've went to, all but one, I believe, has ended with there's the main event match. It gets interference. And then it turns into a, like, 8-man tag or a 10-man tag. And, like, that's how we end the show. I'm fine with that ending, but of the, I want to say, 4 shows I've been to this year, only one has not had that ending. One of them was the Mogador show, which was free. So, fine. You know, you're getting in people who technically didn't even pay for admission. You're putting on a free show. Fine. I'm fine with it. Okay. But the past 2 shows have ended that way. And, like, I know that they're working on some storylines with, especially, like, 2 championships. One, the OCW Championship and the Ohio Heritage Championship. And there are these long-standing feuds that have yet to get 100% answered. And this show was no exception. It ended with a big tag match main event. I kind of get it, because the main event was supposed to be Al Snow versus the OCW Champion Matt Taylor for the title. So, like, how do you end that? Like, it didn't even really start. It was about 5 minutes of comedy from Al Snow, just messing around with head and everything. And then you had Brandon Fields, Daniel Winchester, Jackson Argos, and Grant Andrews interfere. And then you had Robbie Starr and Jimmy Shane come out and make the save. So it turned into, right there, a, you know, 8-man tag to end the night. But other than that, the things that I like about the show, and I think PCW is like this a little bit, but I feel like there's more of it in OCW. Of it is a family-friendly show, and you get a lot of kids. So when you have a wrestler like Jackson Argos, and all he has to do is open up his mouth, and people...
just immediate boom.
Yeah, it's immediate boom. It's one thing that, like, Derek Direction does really, really well in that company. And a lot of the heels, a lot of the bad guys do that too. Some more than others. Laura Loveless is hated there. For what reason, I have no idea, except for resting bitch face, as I call it. Not that I call it, people call it that too, but I feel like that's like
fair.
Her.
I feel
like,
fair.
But that, like, she walks out, she has this bitch look on her face, so it's like, okay, I'm supposed to hate her. And she did become the second OCW champion after beating the first champion, Zoe Sky, after a 1-week reign.
1 week.
1 week.
Nice.
Yeah. We started off with Jackson Argos versus Jake Ely, and Jake Ely is an OCW student. So this ended exactly how I expected it to, but Argos did really well at putting Ely over. Next up was Laura Loveless defeating Avarice Gloom, who I just started following on social media. I'm trying to learn more about her, like where she's from, because I think I asked you about the whole OCW women's tournament, like if you had ever heard of her, and you said no, and I think she's local. Like I don't think she's straight out of OCW's school, Spinebuster U, but I think she's...
That's a fantastic name for a school.
Yeah. Not like some simple, like, oh, it's the, knock on them, the IW Academy, or Mega, because I think Mega has theirs. Spinebuster U, yeah. But I don't know where Ava Race Glooms comes from. Her character is very much a goth girl, a witch. She comes out with tarot cards. She wears all black. I think in most places she would be a bad guy, bad girl, heel, whatever. But when you have Laura Lovelace there, pretty much takes over for that, and people hate her. But Laura Lovelace did retain the OCW Women's Championship. Next up, Chuck the Truck Morris versus Gino DiCapo, which Gino DiCapo is a Italian gangster godfather type gimmick. As a huge fan of that movie, I love the gimmick. Chuck the Truck Morris, his gimmick is not that he's a truck.
He's a truck.
Not that he's a truck driver or a truck, but I don't know. It's just like he's a bigger guy, comes at you like a truck. So his gimmick, he uses a lot of truck references. And
Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah. He does the arm pull. The only problem is, and I pointed it out to Matt Fantone from Canton Radio Station, where I can't remember the name of the Stansberry show. And when Chuck does it with the right arm. And I was like, no, if you're a driver, it's the left arm. And he thought about it. He's like, oh my God, you're right. I'm like, yeah, I know I'm right. And I did give both of them a little advice from a truck driver. Gino DiCapo mentioned something in the match, like he's about to give it some gas. And I'm like, after the match, I'm like, you don't give trucks gas. You give them diesel. And he's like, I drive truck. I should know that. And Chuck Morris, he has this particular move sequence where he starts off in the corner, opposite corner of whatever, his opponent is in, and he yells fast lane. I told him, I get where you're coming from, but as a truck driver, say hammer lane, because I feel like A, it's a little bit more true of a truck driver, and B, it sounds more devastating because it has the word hammer
in it.
So I'm like, try that. He's like, oh yeah, that's actually pretty good. Yeah. But these two guys are, students from Spinebuster U. And, there's four students currently on the show that I know of that are students. It's these two, Jake Ely, and I'm missing one, Grant Andrews, who had a Ohio Heritage title match later in the night. Like what they're doing. They're not necessarily the greatest. They're not the best gimmicks. But I think for these type of shows, they're doing good. And Chuck
Do
Morris.
Do they run student shows here?
No, because it's like those are the only four students that I know of. I think there's some other. There are some other ones, like there's, which I don't know if he's a student or just somewhat local. Crosshairs Kelly is one, and there's another dude who was at the last show I was at. I don't remember his name off the top of my head. Maybe if they get more students through time, because I think it was the last graduating class of Spinebuster U or something was like years ago. And I don't know if they just went by the wayside for a while, but now then when they started back up, like these four are their current class. So they're going to build up more because, Jimmy Shane is someone who was one of the last graduates of
And now Spinebuster. He's pretty experienced in wrestling.
Yeah, he's been around as long as I've been a fan. Like, that's actually something I posted on Twitter. I was trying to figure out where I heard of OCW from. I can tell you where I heard about almost every single promotion. I couldn't remember OCW. I just know I've known about it for a long time. And it's one of two promotions that I heard about before I was a technical fan of independent wrestling. And the other one was IWC, when they do that show in April, where they have all the stars.
Yeah, None of the Superstars.
None of the Superstars. I was going to go in 2011 when Sonny was there. Because I have an old Sonny magazine that I want to get signed. So I was going to go to that show. And then the other show, it was the weekend that I quit a job. And I was about to start like 12-hour shifts at my new job. And they ran in Brimfield, which was like one town or so over from where I lived. Their after party was at a bowling alley that a friend of my ex's worked at. So I heard about it just through some of those means. I had friends who were independent wrestling fans and they were talking about going. And like, I think some of the biggest names you had on that show compared to, like, where we're at now is there was a mixed tag match with, which I didn't go, by the way. I actually looked up the results recently. But it was a mixed tag match between Sassy Steffi and Jessica Havoc, and they both picked male tag partners that were, like, on the poster, they were just question marks. It turned out to be Jessica Havoc's partner was Benjamin Boone.
Interesting.
And I believe, if I'm correct, Sassy Steffi's was a wrestler by the name of Ernie Balls.
Oh, do you remember him? He was from PWO.
I didn't watch it that time. I know of Ernie Balls because right when I was getting into podcasting and all this stuff, he had a short-lived podcast called Pro Wrestling Men in Tights. But he went under his real name, Grant Parker, and then eventually switched it up to Ernie Balls, and now, last I knew, he doesn't even wrestle anymore. He's just a musician in a cover band.
Huh.
Oddly enough, it was called... Oh, they changed it, but it was something Space Monkey for a while.
That's awesome.
But yeah, other than that, it's just like, I think Jock Sampson was on that show. I've had plenty of time to stall and look it up, but instead I was just talking, but now I'm going to attempt to stall and look it up.
And in the meantime, here's where we put in some plug. Yeah, I'm not good at this.
Plug and upcoming events. Okay. Jock Sampson was in a strap match, a leather strap match with Big Guns Jeff Cannon, who was like one of the main guys behind OCW at that time. The High Def Supernovas versus the Noble Bloods for the OCW Tag Team Championships. The High Def Supernovas were Robbie Starr and Matt Mason.
Ah, Matt Mason. There's a name I haven't heard in like 4 years.
Because he got injured.
A lot.
Well, he got injured at the 1DBI show. That was the same night of Prime, and then he healed up, and I think he had his last official match at the next year's DBI, and he's retired. I don't know exactly who both Noble Bloods were, but one was OCW's current champion, Matt Taylor. Other people on that card, but not matches listed that I know who they are. Juice Jennings, Joey Rogers / Joey Vengeance, Sherman Tank, and a personal favorite of mine, someone who is also retired, Jeremy Madrox.
I miss him. He was good.
I've said before, like, I just, every so once in a while, I'll put in, like, an old Prime or PWO show, and that little era of the Megalomaniacs and, like, everything with him.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Love it. It's still fun to, like, watch old things of you. Like, I just put in... It was a short video of something from one of the Streetsboro shows. I want to say it was when Matt Cross and Jason Bain are in the ring together. And I think this was the show before I started showing up. And, like, you're at the ringside by the entrance. Like, I don't think you're sitting there. You're just standing there because it's somewhat open. And you're holding up a Matt Cross sign.
That was probably, like, my second show. I think that might have been my second indie show ever.
I think that was a show after Resolution.
Yeah, that was my second indie show ever then.
Yeah. Crazy.
0 hour.
That's what it was. Zero hour. I thought that was the next show, but the next show was...
The anniversary one.
Yeah, the anniversary show.
Which got canceled, then, like, rescheduled.
That I don't remember, but I just remember going.
Yeah, I have weird memory about that. I remember, because it was supposed to be in Parma. Like, something went to building, it got canceled. So they rescheduled it to be at Streetsboro.
Never forget going to that show. I think I bought a pizza... And they never charged me for it. And it's something I realized later, because it was like, you went up, you're supposed to pay for it, like, order it, pay for it, and then they bring it to you when it was ready. I noticed later, I'm like, wait a minute, counted my money, I'm like, did I pay for that pizza? They brought it to me. It's like, holy shit. And I thought they'd ask for the money. Nope, no asking for the money.
He was like, alright.
So,
And now the cops are on the way.
But, yeah, I've known about OCW for such a long time. And I always still feel like they're this underrated promotion. They're not your AIW. They're not your rock stars.
They're another just really good local indie promotion that, like, no one really knows about.
Because
I see their flyers all the time. They're just kind of, like, just out of my way of going.
Yeah, because they're always down towards me. And, like, that's, like, really far for you guys to go. And the shows are not that long. The thing that I like, they always seem to bring in some talent that are on their way up or something. Like, I think Argos has money written on him. It's just going to take time. The former tag team champions were the Dirty from Dayton. And I feel like they're spreading their wings. becoming a bigger name. You have guys like Robbie Starr, Jimmy Shane, Matt Taylor, Juice Jennings. You know, these guys aren't...
Every one of those I've heard of.
Yeah, they're not huge names, but like you've heard of them, and especially... I like what Jimmy Shane said here on the podcast last week when we were promoting DBI. He says he's not someone that's going to put out a 5-star match, but he's someone that people are going to walk away going, that guy was fun.
Yeah, and if the fans are walking away saying that, you did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming from a fan, so I'm not in any way like involved with any wrestling company. I'm still just a fan. But if I look at you and go, hey, that guy was pretty fun. It doesn't matter if your match was 2 minutes or 20 minutes. If you entertained me, you did a good job.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the results, the tag team championship match, like I had mentioned, the new champions, Robbie Starr and Ryan Burke, which are probably another name you have heard of, too.
Flying Ryan Burke.
Yep. It's crazy with him, too. I started becoming a fan in the end of 2011, and the third promotion I checked out, the very, very short-lived Midwest Wrestling.
Yeah.
Booked him almost every show, and that's where I first heard of him. And then, like, he just wasn't at any other promotion that I went to. And now tag team champion in OCW. I think a 2-time now tag team champion with Robbie Starr. They're called the Star Flyers, and they
Hey, that's a good name.
They defeated.
Kind of cheesy, but what are you gonna do?
They defeated a replacement, somewhat of a team. I don't have it up what the original team was supposed to be, but I think it was Brandon Fields and Flex Jordan was his name, and I forget what their tag team name is, but Flex couldn't make it for whatever reason, so they replaced him with Daniel Winchester, which is a tag team known as Chinlock Inc. The Star Flyers defeated Chinlock Inc. to retain the titles, but after the match, there was a beatdown from Chinlock Inc., so maybe more to come with that. After that was intermission, which normally for intermission, when I go over that, I like to talk about other shows that you should be listening to, not just the ones here on the Training Topics Network, which I know not a lot of people listen to, which is fine, whatever. You could check out friends of mine, such as Macho Man Radio, Chris Clem's Cavscast, Wingcast, a Wingman podcast with Steve Guy, Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear, Pod Van Dam, The Road Home from Wrestling, Weekly Wrestling Podcast. Are they back yet?
WWP?
Yeah.
Recorded an episode, waiting on our third member to record something, then it'll be up.
Okay.
Soon, guys. Soon.
The official Wrestling Cheers graphic designer, Moy Boy Designs, and check out our friend, Thrift Store Jobber, on Etsy, Instagram, and Twitter. Use promo code WORLDWIDE and save 10% on your order. I should ask him, why don't we get a promo code? But we don't do the commercial stuff, but whatever.
We should. Get them promo codes.
I don't know. I love Worldwide. So this is great. Especially because you can tell that they were recorded not that long before the episode got released. So it's like the shirt's up to date. And sometimes he'll throw in some sort of reference of something that happened right around that time, like an AIW show or something.
Yeah, which is good.
But check out some of our friends. Then the second half of the OCW show, we've seen Jimmy Shane defeat OCW Spine Buster U student Grant Andrews to retain the OCW Ohio Heritage Championship. I don't have the exact numbers, but he's held like that title for a long time. But after the match, while his back was turning, you can catch this on the Wrestling Cheers Instagram, Jackson Argos attacked Jimmy Shane and held the title over him while he was on the ground. I don't know what's going to become of this, but Jackson Argos demands a rematch for the title, and he hasn't got one. Even though he pinned Jimmy Shane at the Buzzbin show, I believe.
That little tiny bar show.
Yeah. It benefited them, though, because I felt what could have been like just like this really small show outdoors, brought it inside, and everybody was like closer together, and it had a more packed feel.
Which is nice.
Yeah. It didn't feel like you're at this small show. It felt like you're at a bar that had a freaking ring on the inside. And nobody can do any high-risk moves. I'm curious.
Springboard smash his face off the beam.
I'm curious if they're going to, because I don't know how hard this is to do, I'm wondering if they're going to lower the ring for the next show. Because I've seen those shows where the mat's a little bit higher off the ground. Not higher, but a little bit lower, but like a little bit off the ground.
Oh, yeah, I wonder if that's difficult.
Yeah. And then the only thing left on the show was, like I said, with the main event, Al Snow versus Matt Taylor, ended in a no contest when Chinlock Inc., Argos, and Andrews came out to interfere. Robbie Starr and Jimmy Shane came out to make the save, and then Hal Snow said, hey, why don't we have a tag match? And the match ended with Matt Taylor pinning Jackson Argos. I love
no more title shot.
Well, Matt Taylor is the OCW champion. And that's not
he gets a title shot at the other title. Double champ.
Well, we'll have to figure that out. I think he should
sign me up for the creative team.
I think he should go for it. My rating on it is kind of goes with how I started it off. My only gripe really about the show. Besides them, I mean, they started 15 minutes late, which actually OCW is really good at starting on time and lasting. I think they lasted about 2 hours, almost like what we had with WrestleRager 2.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I really respect them for that. They were a little late starting, and supposedly it was because of Al Snow. That's fine. I don't really hold that against them, but it's the whole all these shows ending with tag team matches. I'm fine with it here and there, but seeing it every single show I go to, like, that's the only thing I don't like. I think I'll give them.
Yeah, I could see that getting kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, the Mogador show, I'm like, okay, fine. Even at the bar show, I was like, okay, fine. Now, I feel like the only way they would end it with a non, you know, tag team match ending is if it was a title match of importance, which I know can't happen all the time, but I don't know. I mean, okay, I'll even cut them credit on this one, which it's like, well, then why are you bitching about it? But the fact that it's against Al Snow, and you got to have Al Snow in the main event, they want the championship in the main event, so it led to the tag team match. Fine.
Yeah, it's fair.
Maybe it's just because these shows were all not that far apart, and the show that I missed on September 16th ended with a tag team match.
Oh, man. Tag match city.
The women's show didn't end in that. Clockwork Orange, well, ended with a championship match, but at a controversial ending that is something that is still going on. So maybe it's since I've been a fan, starting at Appetite, or just not a fan, since I've been attending regularly. All the shows that I missed, like all but one of them didn't end, or yeah, all but one of them ended with a regular championship match.
Well, first, got a nice little streak going.
First show ended in a single champ. Well, ended in a championship match. Mogador Summerfest. That was a tag match. Clockwork Orange championship match. Women's championship match. The Genesee City Fair a tag team. This one tag team. I don't have the Buzzbin show in here. That was also tag team. I think, yeah, like I said, it's my only gripe. So I'm going to rate them. I'm going to give the show a B minus. And I think it's because Al Snow's appearance there kind of bumped it up from just being a C. Nice, like I said, nice family friendly show. I didn't enjoy that I didn't get signal, but hey, it is what it is. So, and I think people should come out, or at least maybe make some sort of attempt to come out to OCW shows if you're in the area, because there are fans from the area that go to AIW but don't come to this show, and they've been somewhat closer to this show or these shows.
Yeah, guys, if you're in the area, go to your local company. Don't drive, like, 2.5 hours and not support, like, your local indie either.
Like, there's a couple fans I can think of off the top of my head. It's like, please, like, I understand AIW's great. It's my favorite promotion in the area. I literally try to make it to every single show one way or another. But if you're from the Akron-Canton area and you're not making it out to an OCW show, like, I don't get it. You might have reasoning, because I know people have reasoning. Maybe they're just not interested. But I mean, I still think there's some good talent on these shows. Jackson Argos, top of my list. Guys like Jimmy Shane can entertain you. And you know what? We can quickly talk about this, but there will be more in the coming weeks. Because last week I went over, or I had on, 4 people from the DBI. Since then, they have actually finally announced a full lineup, and this is a worthwhile show to come out to. You know, tickets are only $15, kids, and that's for adults. Kids get in free, and all the proceeds go to the Solace of Stark. It's all about, you know, drug rehabilitation and all that stuff. They have 7 matches announced, but one of them is the DBI 6 Championship Rumble, which, if I'm correct, is just, you know, obviously just however many people, and it's probably mostly everybody on the show in a over-the-top battle royal. Or maybe it's only so many, but they do it different every year, so I don't know exactly what it'll be this year. But the matches that we do know, we have PME Experience versus Peak of Perfection, which that is the Brandon Day and Flex Jordan tag team. Agent Orange Juice Jennings versus Dark Star Matt Taylor with the ringside enforcer of Matt Fantone. I think this will be a continuation of what's been going on with Juice Jennings and Matt Taylor in OCW. We also have Big Bear Benjamin Boone versus Robbie Superstar. Derek Direction with Mr. D versus No Shame Jimmy Shane. A four-way scramble. Louis Perez versus Chase Arons. Sad thing is, I think he follows us, but I've yet to see him. Versus Flying Ryan Burke versus none other than friend of the show, Joshua Bishop. And we have a tag team match with Gino DiCapo and Grant Andrews versus Electric Jake Ely and Chuck the Truck Morris. And like I said, there's the DBI 6 Championship Rumble, which pretty much everybody listed is someone who was on the card except for one masked guy that I can't exactly place who he is, and Crosshairs Kelly. Oh, Mr. T is listed as a participant. So,
oh man,
it's a great show to come out to. Like I said, it's $15 in Canal Fulton. A lot of the information you can hear on last week's episode, if you haven't already heard it, please come out to some of these shows, support these great companies. If you're in the Akron Canton area, OCW, great place to go to. If you are in the Cleveland and Menor, Willoughby Hills area, or Lakewood, come out to PCW. Lately, they've been running at the same time, so I understand maybe picking between the two, but coming up here in the next...
Support either of them. They're both fantastic.
Coming up in the next few weeks, or next few months, they don't have any overlap. So we'll see how they go forward. So I think that'll wrap up this first time, where we covered two different promotions this episode. Any final thoughts or last-minute plugs, Caden?
Like usual for my social media, at KVR216 on everything. And, yeah, come out to PCW. Come say hi to me. I'm there a lot.
And, of course, going on the plugs for this show. Well, you can find me, Heavyset330, on all social media. You can also find this show at Wrestling Cheers on Twitter, Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers on Facebook, and Instagram, Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers, and email, if you so choose to desire, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Wrestling Cheers on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Podbean. And for the first time ever, the events coming up here for shows that we will be covering or attending. This is not necessarily every show, but just working on the list, because there's going to be a big gap between AIW shows, which was normally what I was putting in there. We have the 6th annual Dustin Batdorf Invitational on October 14th, PCW Revengeance on October 21st, Welterweight Wrestling 2 on October 22nd, OCW show on November 11th, PCW November Pain on November 18th, and AIW Hell on Earth 13, November 24th.
Hell on Earth, probably going to have some fans bring the weapons?
Probably. What all do we know about that show? Dons versus Gage.
Not officially confirmed, but yes.
Not confirmed.
There's not a graphic.
Yeah, there's not a graphic, but Don said the next day about it, kind of saying that that's going to be the match. I like that wrestlers are releasing their dates right now of where they're going to be. So it's like, okay, I know Cabana is going to be at Hell on Earth. Ethan Page is going to be at Hell on Earth. I think AJ Gray is listed on Hell on Earth. I can't remember. Okay.
He's literally on every AIW show up until Jay Witt in 2018.
Which, that's the only shows I know that are happening. Like, as in, the ones that he listed are, I think, match up almost to all the ones that I have.
It's on every show.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you for listening to Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And we're going to end this in a 10-man tag match. Later.